I want to talk about finding God's will for your life, and this is my loose adaptation from a book called Guidance and Wisdom by J.I. Packer. I have enjoyed very much reading his material through the years, and I heard, I've never been clarified, he's dead now, but I heard that there was something of a departing of the faith or something like that, so I always hate to hear that. But I liked what he was saying about this, because a lot of people are misguided when they actually say, I want to find God's will for my life. And what I'd like to do is to share with you his wisdom in this. God is our guide. This is true. When a person becomes a Christian, he enters into a family relationship with God, who is our Father. And he begins to ask, what does my Father want me to do? What is God's will for my life? How can I know God's will for my life? Now, there is very little doubt that God has a will for your life, but the doubt is whether or not you will be able to discover it. To be kind of wandering around, not lost, you know, not lost versus saved, but not knowing how to direct your energies. Bible-believing churches, people are taught to seek God's will for their lives. Here's a song. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. I hadn't heard that last phrase like that, but hold me till I want no more. The way I heard it. But that thing, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Liberal churches cast a shadow of doubt on this. Liberal churches are unbelievers who have made their livelihood in religion. Many of these people don't believe in the God of the Bible at all. They believe in the concept of a God, but that's really pretty nebulous, you know. Everybody across the world believes in some sort of a God. The Buddhist will suppose that you know about God, although Buddha was essentially an atheist, but they turned Buddha into a God. If you're a Hindu, then Brahma, the all, the everything, the wood you sit on, the you know, leather of your shoes, all of that's God, all put together. So people can talk about God. They just don't want to talk about Christ. And Christians are the ones who know how to get to heaven. They don't want to talk about that. So what we'll be looking at in this maybe two or three studies as we do this on a Wednesday is finding God's will. What does it mean? How do we do that? So the first thing then, God can and does guide. Let us just be settled on that. And God has a plan for individuals, not just a generic plan. However, there is a generic plan, that is, his plan involves the whole creation. God, we think of it as progressive, and God working through and so on, and that's true, because we are creatures of time, and things progress with us. But for God, who's outside of time, everything is instantaneous. So when he created, he was doing everything. Everything beginning to end. We can't follow that. We can't understand that. But everything was is immediately done with him. All of time is before him. And so he worked it out. He created it with this timeline. And I don't even know what that means, but there it is. I think you'd have to... You have to come to that conclusion. But he has a plan for individuals, and his plan involves the whole creation. Here's a couple of verses or a couple of passages. Ephesians 1:10 and 11. that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, this is later on, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. This is that millennial kingdom. This is the gathering of all things of earth under him, both which are in heaven, the Greek here, the heavens, the heavenlies, which are on earth, and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. This is God the Father who had the purposing and the new covenant relationship with Christ fulfilling that new covenant. He now has fulfilled it and can come and all things be united in him. So you think about that, to have the end goal already envisioned and saying it will happen means that all of the variables and so on are all set to do this. He has a plan. Ephesians 3:11, according to the eternal purpose, the purpose that he had before he created time, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That purpose was to save mankind. Why does man need to be saved? Because he saw that in creating him with a will to choose or to reject, man would choose against God, therefore be in sin. So he chose to have Christ be the opportunity for us to be saved. But not only is it the whole creation, but his plan includes the individual. And we have our greatest example with the Apostle Paul. Acts 21:14, this is talking about Paul saying, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And people saying, the Holy Spirit has spoken through our prophets that you go and you'll be arrested and it'll be terrible. Don't go, don't go. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. And of course, that was God's will. In fact, God had told him that he would go to Rome. And this was his free pass to Rome. It took him several years to get there. But the Roman government itself paid for him to go. Acts 22:14, Paul is telling the story of his testimony. And at this point, he's telling the story of what Ananias, that fearful man who God told to go speak to Saul of Tarsus. And here Paul tells us something he hadn't told us before. And he said, Ananias said to me, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one. He had had that vision of Christ. And shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, actually heard his voice. The idea here, to know his will, to know what he wants. He was to tell Ananias, I must show him how much he must suffer for my namesake. Man, what a conversion experience, being the guy on top of the food chain, being revealed to God by God to him, that now in his service, wherever he goes, he would suffer. That was the will. Acts 26:16-19. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee. This is him talking about what Jesus said to him. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, this vision from heaven, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Because this was going to continue happening through his life. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. The people normally means Israel, our people. To open their eyes, the Gentiles whose eyes have been sealed shut, from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So he's telling this to King Agrippa while he's being held captive. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. But you see in this that Christ was saying to him at the time, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. Imagine being a Pharisee of the Pharisees, dyed-in-the-wool Jewish person, would never even think of setting one foot into the home of a Gentile. And God says, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. You're just what they need. 1 Timothy 1:16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. He's basically saying, God is showing that if he could save me, he could save anybody. Nobody was doing more damage to God, to Christ, by damaging his baby church than Paul. If anybody deserved the hell to which God could send him, Paul says it was me. So somebody says, I don't think I'm good enough to go to heaven. He says, have you murdered Christians on a regular basis? No, I did. And then we'll just notice the phrase, by the will of God. All of these verses, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, Timothy, all of these, he uses that phrase, by the will of God. Then secondly, God can communicate his plan to us. He has a plan, and he can communicate it. He desires to do that. We'll see two examples here, two kinds. First, examples in the book of Acts. And not all of these will apply to us because God was doing things a little differently right at the beginning of the church. Acts 8, 26 and 29. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. I always think that's interesting because the Ethiopian eunuch was in a chariot traveling at a very different speed than Philip was. No indication of a miracle that got him there. He just took off walking from Samaria, which was fairly down south anyway, but it was north of Jerusalem. At any rate, he just takes off walking. When he gets to the spot, the Ethiopian eunuch has just stopped the chariot to read the Bible. The timing was perfect. And then when he gets there, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. I thought it was interesting, the word join is the idea of glue yourself to this place. You have a job to do, stick with it. And here is the Spirit communicating his will. Acts 10, 19 to 20, when Peter thought on the vision of that sheet, unclean food. The Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, get thee down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Communication of God's will. Many times in the beginning of the church, before the Word of God was finished, when it says that the Holy Spirit said, this was probably through the New Testament prophets. This would come upon them and they would give a message that they got from the Holy Spirit. But in this case, he was pretty much alone up there on the roof. This was the Holy Spirit speaking directly into his mind. Acts 13, 2. As they ministered to the Lord, this is in the church at Antioch, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. That seems to be through one of the prophets that were working there in Antioch. And this was an announcement to the church to prepare to send these as missionaries from the church. Acts 16, 6 and 7. Now when they had gone through Phrygia, they're on the mission field now, and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. They could have gone to this province called Asia, but somehow they understood that they would not be able to preach there. The Holy Spirit had barred that way. Why go if we can't preach? And then they looked to go someplace else. After they were come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. He didn't allow them to go. Something barred their way. I mean, it could have been, you know, bar across the road. It could have been a landslide. It could have been a flood. It could have been anything, but they said God could have opened this up. The Holy Spirit is forbidding us to go. Acts 18, 9 and 10. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. He's there at Corinth. So it's an interesting situation here. God doing whatever was necessary to actually get his will to these individuals. Examples in the book of Acts. Then we have promises of guidance. Here, this is God telling us that while he may not send an angel to talk to us, he may not give us the spirit gift of a prophecy where we start speaking a message that just was delivered to our heart. He does give us promises to guide us. Listen to these promises. Stand on these promises. Okay? Psalm 25, 8 to 12. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he will teach sinners in the way. This is the path you should walk, you see. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Meekness here, submissive to the authority. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. We get the idea here that God has revealed his will in the Word of God. When he says, do this and don't do that, he's telling us which path to take, which path to avoid. And following that is finding his will. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I like that idea. Guide me with thine eye. Hebrew, I will counsel thee. Mine eye shall be upon thee. We tried to teach our children to watch us giving them the eye. If we're up here, you know, on the platform, and they're starting to play around, as they finally glance up, we're looking at them, you know, and that communicated, we see what you're doing, and you will answer for it if you don't straighten up. And I was doing some supply preaching when I was out in Denver. We went down to, what was that city we went down to several times?
La Junta, I think.
What is it?
La Junta.
Yeah, La Junta. And so my wife's playing the piano, and I'm up here leading the singing. And my son John, little boy, he's acting up. And so I think it was my wife that actually got his eye, and she went, and he smiled and went. He knew he had us over at home because we were up here, and we weren't going to stop in the middle. But we took care of business on the way home. We pulled off into a parking lot. Actually, a policeman pulled off to see what we were doing and why we were beating this little kid. And I explained the situation to him. He says, all right, take care of business. And he went on. Guide thee with mine eye. Wouldn't it be nice that, you know, he just gives us a look and we say, yes, sir. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Isaiah 58:11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in droughts, and make fat thy bones. Anybody got fat bones? Isn't that contradictory? Are you bony or are you fat? Thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not, or lie or deceive not. Looks like they're going to be, but then don't know. Romans 12:2, come to the New Testament. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, put to the test, and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See? Think like he thinks. Start doing as he says. Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Here's the Apostle Paul's prayer for the Colossian church. And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And this, he said, you can learn by reading this, my word to you, God's word to you, and obeying the word of God. And then Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, came from that church, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently, this is the word striving, in agony for you in prayers. And what was Epaphras praying? That you may stand perfect and complete, the word meaning filled up, in all the will of God. So we see in this, our first venture into this, that God, in fact, can and does guide. So let us be aware that God has a plan for our life, especially as his children, and he has given us everything we need for life and godliness in the Word of God. So let's spend some time there. Let's make that our goal. He has told us what we need to know for life and godliness.